everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. I will never stop saying it. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here doing just that. And we're going to continue our series today entitled, What's the Point? But before we get to that, I want to turn to a verse that a lot of you probably already know or at least have heard, and it's Philippians 4, verse 13, and it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you believe that verse, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and when I'm walking according to His will, those things will be provided for me. We all believe this verse. We all love this verse. This verse is very encouraging and empowering, and we all believe it until we don't. We believe this verse until we choose not to. And it could be any area in your life. I believe that He is a good, good Father until something happens and you stop believing that. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me until you allow for fear to overtake that promise and you stop where you're at. Or I believe that God works all things for good for those who love Him and are walking according to His purpose until something bad happens. And you're like, I don't know if I know that I believe that promise anymore for my life. This verse encounters every single area of your life that you can do all things that He's called you to do according to who He is and the strength that He's given you. This is for every area of your life, but today we're talking about what's the point of tithing. Oh, you're like, man, I knew it. The week that I invite a friend to church, they're going to talk about giving and tithing. Yes, because it's exciting. The world wants us to not talk about money in church. The world does not want us to talk about tithing. The world does not want that to happen. Our enemy wants us to keep us from the blessings that come from being obedient with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Now, I am a Mon Valley kid. That means I grew up in southwestern Pennsylvania, where one of our spiritual gifts is the spirit of lack. That's one of the gifts that we get to grow up in and under. You know, California dreams from a mill town, right? We have these big expectations, but we still have this lack mentality in so many ways in our life. I want to share with you something that's very exciting and I'm very excited about. We are in the sixth week of being at three worship experiences at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. That's amazing. Phenomenal. The week before we went to three worship experiences, we were averaging 427 people a week. The first week we went to three worship experiences, I believe we had a little bit over 550 people. Okay, so where did those 100-plus people come from in just 1 week span? And they were like, okay, people were just excited, you know, lots of social media presence, lots of people were invited, people were just excited. But no, 5 out of the 6 weeks that we've been at three worship experiences, we've been well over 500 people. And you're like, well, wait a second, there's people that stay for the first and then they're back for the third. We remove all the duplicates. I'm a duplicate. I'm only counted one time. The fact that last week, I think we had 18 connection cards, and the week before that, we had over 15, and the week before that, we had over 50. We're talking about hundreds of new families that just decided to start attending Bridge City Church in the last 6 weeks. That is not an accident. That is God saying, I was just waiting for you to be obedient. When I say you, I mean us people, to be obedient, to step out in faith and launch a third worship experience. God was just waiting to open up the windows of heaven. God was just waiting to lead more people in. He couldn't lead more people in than there were seats for. And now, that is an amazing perspective that when we move in obedience, God meets us. And he fulfills the promises that he's spoken he's going to do. Right? His harvest is plentiful. It's way more plentiful than we can even think of or imagine. So I'm believing that we are going to 4 worship experiences for Candlelight. So you'll hear more about that from Matt. So we're going to have 7 worship experiences in 3 days. But we're making more space than we possibly can, okay? But I believe that this is not our final location for Bridge City Church, the White Oak campus. It's not. This is not, we can't have 26 worship experiences on a Sunday. I mean, I'll give it a shot, but it's just not possible. Because there's number one, there's only 24 hours in a day. But I believe that whenever we step out in obedience, God is going to show to us where he's had us planned to go all along. There is tons of land available, but new construction is huge and crazy right now. But I believe that when we step out in obedience and in faith, God will meet us. So what does that mean? That means that all of us putting our hand in the middle and saying, I'm a part of this and I'm going to be obedient in my time and my talent and my treasure. That's what it looks like. We stepped out in obedience and go into 3 worship experiences, and now we all need to step out in obedience when it comes to our finances. Because we get stuck in thinking that my little bit doesn't affect the big bit. That's one of the tricks of the enemy, that we think that my little bit is not going to affect the whole. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Because when we're all gathered together and we're all moving in one accord, amazing things happen. Last week was our Kingdom Builders offering, and our initiative was going towards Thanksgiving meals and alms. And we had said that we are going to give away $7,500 as a church. We already purchased all the Thanksgiving meals. They were distributed on Saturday. But last week, in 1 week, you all raised $6,770. Thank you for the Kingdom Builders offering. That's amazing. I do not have $6,700 to go out and buy people Thanksgiving dinner, but guess what? We're a part of that. I'm a part of that. Rachel and I are a part of that. You all that gave are a part of that. Johnny, on Thursday, he went down to Giant Eagle and he bought $4,000 worth of gift cards to put in the baskets. I do not have $4,000 to go down and make it rain at Giant Eagle. I don't know. If there's a lot of you in this room that have $4,000 that can go make it rain in Giant Eagle, just let me know. I got some. There's 13.5 acres down the road that I want to talk to you about. Okay? But because of all of us together, we get to say we did that. We were a part of that. But the enemy wants us to think that our little bit doesn't affect the whole, and it so much does. If we want to get where God is leading us and we want to think of what it looks like to build a 25,000 square foot building or renovate one and have 10 to 15 acres so that we can have enough parking so that we don't have to pray that the people at the second worship experience leave in enough time before you get here and drive off because there wasn't a space for you. It's going to take us being committed to doing this all together. 537 people at church last week. Now I understand there's kids and children and all those things. I get that. But just for math's sake, if 537 people took a step forward in their giving and said, I'm going to give $10 more or $20 more a week to get to a tithe, do you know what $20 times 537 is? A lot. It's over $10,500. I think it's $10,740, if I'm correct. I am correct. Thank you. Can you imagine what and how quick it would look for us to get a new building if we increased by $40,000+ a month? Could you imagine the ministry that could take place? Could you imagine the people that could be hired or sent out? Could you imagine what it would look like? And that's just $20. Well, $20 doesn't go as far as it used to, Pastor. I know. But when we put all of our $20 or $10 or $5 together, it changes things. When we go from just giving to being tithers and generous, it changes things. And this is coming from a Mon Valley kid who has a spirit of lack that has been all over his life, his whole life. But my perspective was changed. Why? Because I married a tither. Rachel grew up honoring God with her finances. I grew up feeling that finances were always going to be a burden and hold you back. But God decided to unite our forces. Rachel and I got married. And tithing was the first thing that came out of our budget. And I remember the first week I said, Rach, you have to write the check. You have to put the amount. You got to put the date. I will sign it because it's not good until it's signed. And then I'll put it in the offering basket. I don't have the faith to fill it out, but I have the faith to sign it and drop it in the basket. We good? Yeah, capiche. We got it. I dropped that offering into the basket our first week as a married couple and my first time tithing. And I was waiting for the heavens to open up and trumpets to sound and God to say, you did it, great job, and start singing songs, right? But instead, he slapped me. Because I started tithing because I didn't feel alone in my finances anymore. I didn't feel alone in my finances. I had my bride, and that's why I started giving, because I wasn't fearful anymore. And God smacked me and said, son, you have never been alone in your finances. You just haven't stepped out in faith and obedience yet, and I couldn't meet you where you weren't willing to go. Oh, well, you're right. I know, God, you're right, but yeah, you're right. I was fearful. I was looking at it from my own human perspective. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Well, he's just saying this because he's the pastor and it's his job. This is not my job. It's my vocation. I'm a pastor because I'm called to be one. Now, if all of this changed, I would still preach the same things that I'm preaching now and still model the same things that I'm modeling now, whether or not this is my vocation or not. I'm blessed and humbled and so, so over the top joyful that I get to say that this is my vocation. I can't wait until it's my only vocation and I'm not the, you know, a plumber, DJ, pastor. I only have one job, so three. I'm excited for that day. But until then, I'm going to keep rocking. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep stepping out in faith. Now, there's a lot of questions and misconceptions about tithing, and I'm going to hope that we get to a lot of those today. But some of the first misconceptions about tithing or questions that we have about tithing are as follows. You ready for them?
Yes.
Three of you, you guys just want to go over to Plaza? We could talk. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Is tithing just an Old Testament principle? Wasn't there more than one tithe in the Old Testament? These are questions that people ask or they think or they wonder. How about is tithing in the New Testament? How about this one? Did Jesus teach about tithing ever? Or the last one, are tithing and giving the same? These are questions and these are things that we shouldn't be afraid to ask because we're usually afraid of things that we don't know. And the more we learn, the more wisdom we're given by God about giving and generosity and tithing, the more comfortable we become. But I'm going to start here. Tithing is a free will, faith-filled first fruit offering. Lots of F words at church today, okay? Free will. You are not forced or compulsed or convinced. You are doing this on your own accord. Why? Because if God forced you to do it, you would do it even less. Wait a second. Yeah, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to shame the devil in church today. If God said you have to do this, you would push back even more. But because we get to honor him with our finances, we get to be obedient to him, we get to invest not just in the here and now, but in eternity, that's what makes it so much more powerful. It is faith-filled. Again, I said, I'm a Mon Valley kid. I'm a southwestern Pennsylvania man. I was raised in fear, molded by it, right? That's what we all feel. Fear can overcome faith so many more times in our life, but when we step out in faith, God meets us every single time. First fruit offering, what does that mean? That means that if it comes in, it goes out. You honor God first. You honor God first. And that is how we can start to look at this. So this Hebrew word tithe, a tenth, a part, it's literally us honoring God with our first fruits, moving the decimal. You make 100, you tithe 10. You make 1,000, you tithe 100. You make 10,000, you tithe 1,000. You make 100,000, it's 10,000. You get what I'm saying? You move the decimal, it's a tenth. And you're like, well, when I make $100,000, I'll easily give 10. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because if you don't honor God with a little, how can you expect that you're going to honor him with much? Whatever's in there is going to be revealed. So let's talk about this word tithe a little bit more. It occurs and is mentioned 32 times in the Old Testament. Tithing in the Old Testament, what does it look like? In Leviticus 27, 30, 30 through 40, 34, I want you to take a picture of this so you can read these verses. We don't have time today to read every one of them and every reference. Numbers 18, 21 through 28. Deuteronomy 12, 14 and 26. 2 Chronicles 31, 5 through 8. Now, there were three types of offerings and tithe. There was one to the Levites, one tithe to support the annual feasts, and one tithe every 3 years to support the poor. Now, that one that was every 3 years, that one wasn't really a tithe because it was 23.33%. But they only did that once every 3 years. You're like, wait a second. Well, that's good because it's only Old Testament. It's only Old Testament stuff. It's before the law. And after all, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Let's unpack that a little bit. Let's go to the principle of interpreting scripture, which is known as first mention. The first mention of tithing was Genesis 14, verse 20. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. This is the first mention of a tithe, of a tenth. Then we look at what was the first response to this first mention. It was to give. Give of what? Our first fruits. This, if we look at it, predates the law. Giving and the understanding of giving and the offering on a free will, faith-filled basis is all done before the law. So, it is older than the law that we're saying, some of us, that Jesus came to fully fulfill and we don't need to do anymore. It predates the law. Many people like to say that the tithe was done away with because Jesus did away with the law. That's not true. We're going to unpack that a little bit more throughout the day. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 7. This is going to be our main text for today. And it's the only place in the Bible where God tells us to test him. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? You know, just to give you a little context here of Malachi 3, God's people were returning from exile, and they forgot the greatness of God. They forgot that he is everything that he says he is. They forgot that he is able to do everything that he said he would be able to do. They forgot who God is. And these verses are to remind us, don't forget how great your God is. Don't forget to honor him in every area of your life, your time, your talent, your treasure. So how do we return to God what's rightfully his? How do we return to having a heart after God? Number one is we need to make sure that our heart is right with him. Is our heart right towards God? Are we in a place where our time and our talent and our treasure is honoring him? Because we're told in Matthew 6 that where your treasure is, that is where your heart also lies. Your heart is where, do you ever hear the saying, put your money where your mouth is? It's more so like, put your money where your heart's at. If you show me your passions and the things that you know that you're doing on purpose and you've planned, I will tell you if you're walking with an understanding that you can do all things of God who strengthens you. Or if you're putting him to the test like he's told us to do in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 9. Let's go there. Will man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And the answer, in your tithes and your contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Wait a second. We're talking about robbing God now? We're going to use this as a metaphor of us being able to see a picture that's being painted for us. God is saying that he's going to hold back some areas if we don't walk in obedience in all areas. And we think, well, that's not nice of God. Let's put it in, if we want to talk about things from a human perspective, let's put it into a full human perspective so we can understand it a little bit more. What would you do if somebody robbed you? How would you act towards them? Now, some of you might be like me, like, it was okay. They probably really needed it. I would have just gave it to them if they would have asked. But some of you would be like, no, I'm going to keep my eye on that person. I'm going to withhold some of my time from that person. I'm going to withhold some things because I can't trust them as I wanted to trust them. Let's take it a step further. What if that same person robbed you every week? Every week, that same person robbed you every week. They stole some of your time. They stole you using your talents. They stole some of your treasure. What would you do? You'd start to walk a little different. You'd start to be a different person to that person if they kept robbing you. So how do we look at God differently whenever we're withholding from him and he says, I'm going to withhold from you? It just makes sense. It makes sense that if we're robbing from God conceptually, that it would be okay for God to hold back in some areas that he wants to maybe open up the windows of heaven over. And I'm not just talking about money here, people. This has just as much to do with money as it does your obedience. I'm not just talking about money. I'm not just talking about if you do this, you'll get this return on your investment. No. I'm talking about God wants your whole heart. Let's take it another step further. Let's give an example. I learn in illustrations. The question is asked, what's the difference between tithing and giving, like over and above? So if somebody borrows your car, the minimum that they should do when they return it is fill it up to the amount of gas that was in there whenever they gave it to you, right? And going up like a little bit would be washing the car. Okay? Is that agreeable? Going above and beyond would be washing the car, filling it with the gas, and vacuuming and waxing the paint. Like vacuuming the carpets, waxing the paint. This is the minimum. This is where we all want to get to. We all want to start at tithing, start at being a consistent, faithful giver, and then get to a point in our life where we're able to be over the top generous. Generosity is the goal. Malachi 3, verse 10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in your house, and thereby put me to the test in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I truly believe that the storehouse is a representation of the local expression of the church. I believe that it is clear that God says, put me to the test. And some area, in Isaiah, it actually says for us to prove him. in the area of finances, it is going to open up areas of our life and acts of faith in our life that are beyond what we can even fathom. When we give and return to God what's rightfully His, He opens up so many blessings that have nothing to do with finances. I'm not the wealthiest man in the world based upon the world standards, speaking strictly financially. But I have won the Powerball so many times over and over and over again, and I am the richest man in the world when it comes to a kingdom perspective. Because if it weren't for God and Him opening up the windows of heaven in my life and my family's life, I would be dead or in jail. Why would I be dead? Because I would have took matters into my own hands. Why would I be in jail? Because I would have made sure that the people that pushed me to that moment were going with me. That's pre-Jesus, Pastor, talking to you. All that flesh has been put aside. It can still come out, but I keep it in check. Right? We all do. Why do I know what is right, but I continue to do what is wrong? We all got a flesh. I'm not the only one in this room that got a flesh. I just got 21 years of it built up that I got to continue to submit to God over there and lay it at the cross. When we recognize that God can do more with 90% blessed than you can ever do with 100% cursed, it changes things. When we realize that when we give our first and our best, the rest of our lives will be blessed, it changes things. God wants to open up the windows of heaven. What does an open heaven look like? Jesus taught us to pray this way, on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to experience heaven here on earth, not just wait for eternity. What is heaven on earth? Heaven on earth is us recognizing that we're giving of our time and our talent and our treasure so lives can be changed, so spiritual transformation can take place, and that a harvest that glorifies the name of God can be walked out. When we say that we're going to test God so that we can see the windows in heaven open in our life, it doesn't just mean that the ATM floodgates of heaven are going to open and it's just going to rain in your life. Let's talk about some of the examples of open heaven and what that looks like. Genesis 7, verse 11, there was an outpouring of more than enough to accomplish God's intended purpose when the windows of heaven were opened. Psalm 78, 23 through 31, there is an amazing story of the windows of heaven being open and proving the provision of God. 2 Kings 7, verse 2 and verse 19, there's a miraculous deliverance from those who were oppressed because the windows of heaven were open. Isaiah 24, verse 18, there's an overthrowing of God's enemies when the windows of heaven are open. How many of you need a little bit more victory over some enemies in your life? How many of you need a little bit more of God's provision over your life? How many of you need to know that you're no longer walking in oppression, but in victory over your life? That's the windows of heaven that are going to be open when we walk in obedience to Him. Verses 11 and 12, I will rebuke the devourer for you. This is, so whenever I and we start walking in an open heaven window, because we are obedient in our finances, we're promised that He will devour our enemies. The things that used to try to destroy us will be devoured in His presence. I think when I read this, I can't help but think about like the Lion King. Anybody ever watch the Lion King? Six of you? It's one of the highest grossing movies of all time. The only six of you saw it. Remember whenever Simba's out in the, he's in the area that he wasn't supposed to be in, and the hyenas come, and Simba starts to roar, and the hyenas look at him and kind of laugh, and then he musters up a little bit more faith, and he roars, but it actually wasn't his roar, it was Mufasa behind him, right? You know what I'm talking about? And he's like, I'm working on my roar. We're working on walking in faith and trusting in him, but all the while we know that he has our back and our front and our side, and he's devouring the enemies that have been placed before us and the lies that have been created against us and the stuff that's trying to hold us back from seeing as many people as possible meet Jesus, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear. So the Lord of hosts says, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. God will protect you. He will provide for you. He will be the one that he says he will be. He's just asking for us to allow him to prove himself in our lives. And we're not asking you to do anything that we as the church will not do. Every pastor, elder, leader, and group leader are people, are tithers and above. We as your church are a church that believes in the blessings that come from walking in obedience. Your church tithes. Your church gives away 10% plus of everything that comes in to missions and to alms and to people outside of the walls. Why? Because we believe in an open heaven full of lives being transformed, full of God's blessings pouring over them, and full of spiritual activity. Tithing is the starting point. Generosity is above and beyond the tithe. That's where growth starts to kick in. That's where the growth of your faith starts to kick in. Never, ever in my life have I met a tither that is not overflowing with joy and with peace and with God's provision. Never in my life have I met a tither that complains and says they don't have enough. Never have I met a tither that has a spirit of lack. Why? Because the principle of God's design works. Grace-filled people are giving people. Grace empowers us to give. Tithing grounds my faith, keeps us in the same perspective that God wants us to see through. I never hear and see people who tithe complain about not having enough. I never have. You might be somebody that said, and I've caught myself, I've said this, well, when I have $1 million, I will. And then I realized that, no, I probably wouldn't, because if I didn't do it when I didn't have $1 million, why would I do it when I have $1 million? More money does not draw out more of what's not already in there. More money will not make you more of what you aren't already. It will not pull something out of you that wasn't there to begin with. If you are faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with a lot and with everything in between. Oh, when I have a lot of money, I'll give a lot of money. Well, did that really require faith then at that point? Remember I said earlier, you make 10, you give a dollar, you make 100, you give 10. If you're blessed and you're able to make $100,000 in one transaction and you give $10,000, I almost feel that it's harder for that person that gave 10 than it was for you to give 10,000. It took more faith to give 100 than it did for somebody to give 1,000 sometimes. Not the same amount, but the same sacrifice. And there's some fears that come in to creep into our minds when it comes to tithing, when it comes to giving. And these are the top three in my mind. It's a lack of discipline, a lack of knowledge, and a fear of not having enough. That is the Mon Valley way. We don't do what we don't know. We're afraid of what we don't know. And discipline is hard. But you gotta start somewhere. The hardest piece of equipment at the gym is not everything that's within inside the gym. It's the front door of the gym. The hardest thing to do is to start. And then God meets you. So, New Testament. Let's go to New Testament. Well, question, did Jesus ever speak about tithing? Did he ever make the the quote tithing? No, he never talked about it. That's not true. Matthew 23:23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. What are the more important things? That our life represents all the open heaven things that God wants to pour out, that we get to walk in justice, that we get to walk in peace, that we get to walk in mercy and grace, that we get to walk in faith in all areas of our life, that we would live in such a way that it changes the world around us. Jesus was reminding us to do both, to walk as an example of justice and mercy and grace, and to tithe. New Testament giving is very purposeful, it's very proportional, it's very prayerful, and it's very planned. Now you may be thinking, well, in the book of Acts, they didn't talk about tithing. No, they talked about giving everything, and how they gave up everything for their neighbors, for those that they were serving with. And God was honored and blessed and added to their numbers every single day. Why was tithing not mentioned or talked about? Because it was already something that was in them and they were living in generosity now. They went from beyond just honoring God with a tenth, and they went to above and beyond and said, we'll just give it all. Are we commanded to tithe when we look at the New Testament? No, we are not. We're commanded to give generously, which is above and beyond a tithe. So you pick. Do you want to start at the starting point, or do you just want to skip all the way to generosity right off the bat? You get to pick. I know that I wasn't at a point where I would be able to start at generosity right away. I still want to get there in so many areas of my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So all I'm asking is that you will leave today asking three questions. And these three questions will change every area of your life. This is not just finances. This is not just talking about finances. This is talking about every area of your life. What can I give? What can I give up? And what can I believe God for? What can I give in the area when it comes to my time? What can I give up when it comes to my time? What can I believe God for when it comes to my time? The talents that God's given me, what can I give of those? How can I use my talents to honor God? So what can I give up? And what can I really believe God for when it comes to my talents? Now, when it comes to my treasure, what can I give? What can I know that I can do that wouldn't even require any faith at all? I can start there. What can I give up? We're not asking you to give up rent money here. That's not smart. We're asking you to say, hey, I'm not going to get a Snickers every single day, twice a day, because I need a break and I drive past 7 sheets on the way to work. That's something you can give up. And then what can you believe God for? I'll tell you what I'm believing God for. I'm believing that I heard a story years ago that there's a pastor that lives on 10% and gives away 90%. I want to get there. Now, granted, he wrote the second highest selling book of all time, like besides the Bible. But listen, we serve the same God. I would love to give away 90% and live on 10%. That would really kick the devil in the teeth. Oh, yeah, that pastor, by the way, too, he wrote a check back to the church, and he never has been paid from the church. 20 years of salary, he wrote a check back to the church. I think that's pretty cool. That's what I'm really believing God for. I'm believing to one day get there, to live on 10 and give away 90. We're going to bring the worship team up. We're going to start to land the plane. But one of the things that we experience through having this open heaven mentality is we get to experience the true riches of heaven. Luke 16, verses 10 through 11. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches of heaven? What are the true riches of heaven that we're talking about and that these verses are talking about? The true riches of heaven are love and joy and peace and wisdom and forgiveness and healing and walking and being led by the Holy Spirit's power. Isn't it interesting that whenever we are honoring to God with worldly wealth, he gives us things in return that money can't buy? You can't buy joy. You can't buy peace. You can't run to Ross Park Mall and, you know, right in between the Louis store and what other stores out there that you just walked past. You can't go in and say, hey, I'd like a fresh set of wisdom. Can't buy it. You can't buy healing. You can only receive it. You can't buy the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, but you can be obedient to his leading. You most definitely cannot buy unconditional love. But when we're obedient in everything that God's given us, he freely pours those things out upon our life. So I want us to walk in true riches. I want us to be a people that is so confident that we're experiencing everything that God has for us. But it starts with us making sure that we are we're being obedient with the life he's given us. And have we submitted that life to him and everything that he did on the cross for us? Have we received him as the forgiver of our past and the leader into our future? Is he the Lord of our life now? Is what he says, is that what goes in our life? You can't start anywhere but there, at the foot of the cross. He gave an example on how we should live our life. He gave everything for us. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received what he did on the cross for you, I'm asking for today to be your day, for you to receive the gift of eternal life. If you don't have a day, a time, just slip your hand up and say, I don't, but I need to receive it. I need to repent of my past and receive his forgiveness and allow for him to be Lord and leader into my future. Anyone at all today? Praise God. So that means then we should all be real excited for this next portion that we're about to jump into. You ready? We're going to jump into worship. Like, wait a second, there's only two guys up there. It's just Emmanuel and Brandon. I'm not leading. I'm not going to lead us in song, but I am going to lead us in worship. And that is by worshiping him with our tithes and our offerings. This should be the most exciting time of our worship experience. This should be a time where we shout with joy and in excitement. And why am I doing this today? Because I want to share with you what an honor, a privilege, and a blessing it is.